New Wave Audio Theatre presents Episode 3 Follow, featuring Young Firebrands by Tegan Buggy, Repeating Juvie by Anita Sanders, and Field Notes by Alyss Messenger. The crowd.
It pulses around us. A wild beat.
I can feel it in me. My hands are shaking and...
I'm trembling. There's this huge beastly...
emotion riding up in me. I spot Charlie in the crowd.
Bee's eyes locked on me. I need her to commit to this.
I've got no choice. They're relying on me.
And we need to do this. My clothes...
stink like gasoline. I know there's people...
around me who are watching and waiting.
But my hands are sweating.
It's all I can think about.
I'd promise I'd do this... and I can.
I can do this.
We're not being heard. That's the problem.
Damn right we're not being heard. So here's the thing. No one, and I mean no one currently controlling any stakes in our country's future, in any country's future, is listening to the people who are actually going to live in it. They don't give a damn about your little brother, B.
It's because they don't care about the damage they're doing. It's all figures and numbers to them. What's the latest opinion poll? What's going to get me re-elected? It's the only thing they care about.
By the time their failure to act creates palpable issues, they'll all be dead. People like your sister's kids, Charlie, will have to deal with the suffering the government has caused.
It sucks.
Yeah, it does.
It's not like we can do anything about it, though. We've tried before, but they won't listen.
They won't listen because we haven't made them listen.
Well, how are we going to do that?
Through any means possible.
We could do a walk for awareness.
What's a walk going to do? Oh, please be aware of us as we walk politely and get our government recommended amount of daily exercise. We need something noisier, like a protest or a march.
No! We've done those kinds of protests already and nothing happened afterwards because no one marching or watching or listening actually follows through.
What about affirmative action?
Do you even know what that means?
No.
Leave her alone.
Sorry, man.
We need this to make the government listen, and they need to heed us. We can't be ignored.
You're right. There's no choice. It's got to be big.
But the issue is bigger than just our country, so shouldn't we make it big enough for the whole world to take note?
God, you're brilliant, B.
So a mass action, then. Many people joining together to do something that the world can't ignore.
It's the only way to make it count.
We could... live stream it on social media? On multiple platforms so no one could censor the video. We could use a hashtag. That sounds dumb.
No, I think it's a brilliant idea. See, this is why I need you, Bee. This is why I need you and Charlie.
Thanks.
So, you're both telling me that we need to make this global. We need something noisy.
Are you saying we should blow something up? Because if so, I am
You
in.
Weren't, were you?
No, I wasn't. We need the audience watching to be sympathetic to our cause. To why we're doing it, not what we're doing.
Well, what should we do then?
I've been reading about non-violent protests, and I think someone is going to have to die.
Die?
Hear me out.
You're insane! I'm not doing that!
You're either all in for this or you're not. And if you're not, then I guess you don't care about your brother, and you're just like all the other scum suckers you should be fighting against! If that's the case, get out. I don't need anyone who doesn't care about their family.
No, I do care. I do.
That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad, Bee. I don't think I can do this without you.
I'm here for you. Whatever you need.
I know. And Charlie's here with you too, aren't you, Charlie?
Yeah, for whatever it takes, man.
It's just so extreme.
I know. And that's the point. It's extreme because we have no choice otherwise. Can you think of a better way to show the strength of our convictions? To show how serious we are about the way our politicians are destroying the country? About all those rich white bastards who just want to gorge before they kill us all? It's big. It's noisy. It's tragic. We do this right, and they will have to listen to us.
This could actually work.
But who would...
B, can you honestly tell me that you prefer the future we're currently facing rather than the potential future we'd be creating?
He's right. We have to do this.
This is going to have to go beyond just the three of us. We need more people. We need an army behind our cause if it's going to work.
It sounds like you're recruiting.
Yeah, I guess I am.
It's time. The crowd is forming a ring
around us, and B and I are standing in the middle.
They're linking arms with each other in
a human wall. Nothing gets in, nothing gets out, and
we're protected, isolated. I feel
like my breath has already left me.
He's not here, but I know
that he is watching the rest of the world.
He will record this, remember us, and
he will make our lives count.
The lighter is in my hands.
The lighter is in my hands.
Do I get to know?
What?
Why I have to visit you in this place.
You heard everything in court. I hit her.
How do I know you're not going to go nuts on me?
Everyone around was scrawling their pens. I stared at the first question, I read the next one, then looked for the third one, but there wasn't any more. I had nothing to write, I needed the grade. We'd already seen the principal, and you said you'd help, but you couldn't, because you're always at work. The clock was ticking down, tick, tick, tick. I knew I was a failure and I was out of time. Fist to the table, I stood up. Chair clipped my legs, I grabbed it, I threw it. Hey, the teacher said. I stormed for the door. Dan, she tried to stop me, and I slapped her down. Then I couldn't stop.
You're not the only one who finds school hard. I have to get back to work.
You only just got here.
Your school fees are due. They get more and more like private school every term.
But I'm here.
But you started the term. I had a sweet, clever boy, and now he's gone.
Mum.
Hello?
It's Dan. I'll get out of juvie today.
Oh, I'm on a business trip. I'll be away for a couple of weeks.
There's no food in the house.
I'm sure you can sort that out. Oh, someone's coming.
But I don't have any money. She never gave me any before she left, and she started going more after my first time inside. Sometimes I'd call, but mostly I scrabbled through every bin in town, but the summer heat wrecked that. I was starving, all over again. My phone was right there. All I had to do was call her and hear her say, "What?" Hear confusion clear as she remembers, "Oh, she has a son." Then she'd just say, "Oh, you can sort that out." Every time. Made me feel tiny, and I'm so tired of always being weak. I have weak school grades, weak job skills, weak impulse control. But it's just food. I should be able to eat without needing her. Take it. Take it, take it, my mind said, and my fingers went walking, tucked away the loot. Then there was a knock on the door because all the cops know my face. I was in juvie. I was out of juvie. Mum didn't pick me up. Mum wasn't home and I didn't call. School said exams are over. I'd failed the year. School said I should repeat next year. In the break, I tried to get a job, applied for an apprenticeship, applied for a shop job, applied for cleaning. Didn't even get a call, because I've been in the paper for the wrong reasons, and that means Google is never going to give me a break. So I took some money. I ended up in juvie, and I got out of juvie. And Mum wasn't there. School was on break, and I was starving. Now I'm in juvie, staring at you. Is that enough?
Seems like a weak excuse. I get it, your mum's busy, but survival's up to you. You don't need to wave around a knife to get what you need to survive. Didn't you think to Google a soup kitchen?
I know you're new, but even I know there's no charity in town.
Then you should have kept calling your mum.
I thought she'd take more notice after I came out the first time.
But that clearly didn't work, so why'd you keep stealing?
Because for just a second, I felt successful.
And what about how everyone else feels? I only came because I thought it would help. Every night, there's a nightmare on my shoulder. I take pills so maybe I'll sleep too deep for dreams, but that's not how they work. I dream of a shadow. As it gets closer to the counter, it becomes you. Your teeth are in a snarl and the knife is thrust close to my face. I give you the cash in the register, then the nightmare starts. You slash your blade as you go. My skin goes wet. My hands tremble. I clutch the wound and shock sends me to the floor. I take shallow breaths. I hear a clock ticking and the world gets a fuzzy glow. My eyes close and no one finds me.
I never did that.
But that's how afraid you made me
feel. You're exaggerating and making it worse for yourself.
I could say the same about your situation.
They're not the same.
I guess they're not, because at least I try and make things better rather than walking around in circles. You know what? Coming here has made me feel better. I can see how weak you are. You'd rather run yourself into the ground than stand up for your well-being.
I'm out of juvie and walking up my street as I think about how I don't want to go back. Think about how I don't want to be a nightmare. Think about how I don't want to be invisible. When did I become so unimportant to her? And myself. Mom, I'm home. Mom.
Hey, look at us in the same room. I was just packing things for my evening flight. What's that look for? Don't shrug at me.
You're never here.
How else do you think I pay for everything?
No, you mean, how else do you think I pay for myself?
Excuse me?
You don't even buy me food. You never want anything to do with me, but I still need you.
You're old enough to look after yourself, Daniel. There's a lot more trips I need to do. You're going to have to smarten up your act. That's what my sweet, clever boy would do.
I'm starving again. The bins are empty and the shop's right there. I step inside, let my fingers walk food off the shelf. I'm heading for the door. Excuse me, a man says. And he has that look which says, I know what you're up to. I flash out my knife and he reaches for it. Stab, stab. I'm not in court. I'm out of court. I'm in the big house now.
Scone Convention Notes, Saturday 18th. Off the record, but on the record. Because, you know, I'm recording. I'm annoyed I'm asking this again, but Julia, where have you sent me? I'm a proper serious journalist. After this one, no more weird ones. I hope there's samples. There better be samples. Julia, oaths were... Anyway. National Convention Centre. Blah, blah, blah. Wafts of baking smells come through, but there might be 200 odd people here. Right line about how their dedication to baked goodness fills up the largely empty space of the convention centre. Excuse me, sir?
What?
I'm a journalist from the Antipedian. Have you by any chance heard of us?
No.
Oh, good. Was wondering if I could snag a quick interview about you and, well, scones.
Sorry, mate. I need to get to the meeting.
What meeting?
Oh, the amalgamatory general meeting of all the state scone bodies. The Be There SconeCon event of the year.
Right, of course, that meeting.
Yeah, well, I've got to get to that.
Any chance I could join you?
How do you eat your scone? Jam or cream first? Or are you one of the bloody lemon curd separatists?
Oh, no. Jam, then cream?
Yeah. All right, I'll vouch for you. We need more numbers anyhow. Dwindling numbers of orthodox jammers, you know? The youth are all about the cream. It's just sad. The cream is the fluff. The jam is what gives a scone substance. What was your name?
Leslie.
Lawrence.
Lawrence and I have just taken a seat in the large convention hall. It appears everyone's separated by state association, and I'm sitting with... Lawrence? Which state group is this?
Queensland.
I'm sitting with the Queenslanders, and... And Lawrence?
Yeah?
What position do Queenslanders take on scones?
Right. Pumpkin. Jam on the bottom, cream on top. Butter is also acceptable.
Great. On the stage, There is a very old sheet of paper encased in glass, like school play prop letter, stained with tea old.
That's the recipe. The best and oldest gone recipe in Australia.
Any idea what it says?
Nah. Some have questioned if it even exists. Only Marjorie has studied it. She's the one with the New South Welsh down the front. Beige twin set, pearls on.
If her knowledge of scones is beyond us mere mortals, I certainly hope we get to hear her speak.
Hi there. Would you like to try a scone sample?
Gladly.
Oh, it's Sconny.
Sconny, right.
No, it's Connie.
Well, I'm Leslie, from the Antipedian. We're a small Australian journalist collection, and I...
Never heard of you.
What kind of scone lover are you, Connie?
I'm a researcher at the Experimental Sconology Society. Yes. Thank you, Lawrence.
You know each other?
We've argued in the past over afternoon tea.
Debated. Anyway, these samples, Leslie, represent the focus of our current sconological research, Project Space Scone.
What? You're sending scones into orbit?
Yes.
Oh, well. Are you launching them? Or...
We are aiming to develop a form of scone to be taken aboard the International Space Station. The consistency is similar to mousse.
It's a slightly soapy.
My assistant must have not washed out the pump pack properly. We at the ESS are committed to being environmentally friendly, conscious as well. So we reuse as often as possible. Also, scone-based research doesn't attract much government funding. Philistines. Well, I hope you'll stick around for my presentation on the future of 3D printing. See you around.
Bye.
You'd be better off avoiding that rubbish. Weird science whack jobs. Those ESS nerds have got scones totally wrong. 3D printing, really. Scones aren't broke. They don't need fixing.
Order! Order! There will be order!
An older woman, with a puff of white hair like cream, has taken the podium.
Thank you, dears. Hello there, scone lovers. All of us in the same room for the fifth year in a row. My name is Petunia, and it is with great pleasure that I MC today. I would first like to acknowledge the land we meet upon today is that of the Niyamati people, and pay respects to their elders, past, present, and forthcoming. Now, I know you're all keen to vote for the new national exec, but I feel it is right to talk about the purpose of this convention. We are here because we have a shared love of scones. We have brought you all together because, sadly, our numbers across every state are dwindling. And we, of the newly formed National Scone Federation, wanted to assert scone lovers as a united front. However, we are also aware of the worrying factions that exist within our community. In response to this, I would like to welcome Marjorie, the Keeper, to the stage.
Thank you for those welcoming words, Petunia. Hello, scone lovers, all. Before we come to the very important election, I have something to show you.
Oh my God. On a plate is a scone, a knife, and a portion of jam and cream.
The object of our affection.
She is halving the scone?
Some feel the jam ought to be laid down first.
Marjorie is spreading jam on one half of the scone.
Others, the cream.
She's doing the same with the cream on the other half of the scone.
What I am saying, my dears...
She's picking up the two halves.
...is that it is all a matter...
...and bringing them together...
...of perspective.
No way.
What?
Marjorie's turning the scone one way and then the other.
Are we not one and the same? A union of scone?
I've never seen anything like this before. Lawrence? Lawrence, are you crying?
Beautiful, Marjorie. It's just beautiful.
I feel genuinely privileged to experience such a moment in Australian scone history.
Oh, what is this? Someone turn on the light.
No need to panic, dears. The lights will come on soon.
The hall is bathed in darkness and... Oh, ow!
Ah, lovely.
The recipe! The recipe is gone!
The recipe is no longer in the glass case.
Hello there, scone lover.
Oh, what?
Get out of here!
What's going on?
It's him!
Scone terrorists.
On screen, instead of the very professional-looking National Scone Federation logo, there is now a person with a chef's toque for a head.
Enough! It's me you want!
Too right. We've tried to talk to you like reasonable bakers, Marjorie, but you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't share.
The scone terrorists has raised their hand, and in their clutches is the recipe. The loopy scroll, difficult to read.
So if we can't have the recipe, no one can.
In the other hand is a lighter.
I am the baker's son, yet we only burn.
Oh, everyone's going into anarchy. Some are crying, some are enraged. Yep, I just got here with a scone. I'm out of here. I've escaped. It's weirdly quiet outside. A woman sits on a bench, eating a scone piled high with, if you'll pardon the pun, scondiments. Excuse me, ma'am. That's quite a ritual there, licking off the fillings.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, scones are terrible. Dry, tasteless. Ugh. I only eat them because they're a socially acceptable vehicle for large helpings of jam and cream.
Have a nice day. I don't think I can go to a high tea from here on out without feeling some very strong emotions. Ones that right now I can't quite name. Seriously, Julia, no more weird ones.
Thank you for joining us for episode 3 Follow, our final episode for the season. Please like us on Facebook to keep up to date on our next season. Episode 3 Follow was directed by Connor Reedy and produced by Anita Sanders. Young Firebrands by Tegan Buggy feature Nicola O'Farrell as Bea, Kieran Drost as Charlie, and Max Karolik as Anton. Repeating Juvie by Anita Sanders featured David Hampton as Dave, Hannah Helbig as Mel, and Kat Galagani as Mum. Field Notes by Alice Messenger featured Nicola O'Farrell as Leslie, Kieran Dross as Lawrence and Someone, Kat Galagani as Connie and Marjorie, Hannah Helbig as Petunia, David Hampton as the Baker, and Max Karolik as Beverly. Our cover art is by Aidan Beaver. Some of our audio effects are sourced from freesound.org. For a full list, please visit our website, newwaveaudiotheatre.com.